Now, the voices of Bronco Athletics, Bob Beeler and Chris Lewis on Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.
I will be heading out the door to Seattle in 30 minutes for tomorrow's NIT game. Chris will be leaving for Louisville tomorrow for the women's game, which will now be at 10 a.m. Mountain Time against one of the top teams in the country, the Cardinals. And then it will be JP going down to cover all of the press conferences tomorrow. Caves Prater and Fish are going to be holding down the fort. It is a busy time here on The Ticket.
Are you saying we need some help?
We probably
are you out
do.
There talking to the audience saying, come please help us. We need some bodies. Yeah, we all got things to do. We all got places to go. That's what happens come March with basketball.
Had a chance yesterday to be with you over at the women's basketball party in which the selection was revealed. And it was interesting. I think the team had kind of thought maybe they were going to Oregon or were hoping to go to Oregon because there was a groan when they saw Seattle go as a 15 seed over to Eugene. And then I don't think anybody in the room saw the trip to Kentucky coming up.
Yeah, that's odd. Louisville as a 16 seed going to face a number one seed, Louisville, the Cardinals. That was puzzling, and everybody was kind of going through their scenarios beforehand. And if there was a, you know, the thing about the women's bracket, travel does play a big part of it. They kind of want to keep it regionalized if possible. They might need to go away with that if you want to continue to like drastically alter the bracket, because I think this was way too far of a stretch. But generally, they want to regionalize it, but not always. It doesn't always match up cleanly with champions from the western part of the country with like lower seeds, like 15, 16, 14, those type of seeds. With top three or four seeds of Western teams. So sometimes teams have to go east. That should be on the west. Sometimes you see teams from the East Coast go west a little bit. So, there's always a little bit of a bend. But to think that Boise State would get the short end of the stick and as a 16 have to go east to Louisville, that was strange. And I still don't necessarily get it. Now, again, travel's the only logical explanation. But, like, for example, Boise State was 111 in the final RPI for women's basketball. They play in the 16th ranked conference, the Mountain West.
And we're 16. How many conferences are there? Just to give people an idea.
We're talking 32, I believe.
I think you're right. So right in the middle.
And they got a 16 seed. North Carolina A&T. They had an RPI of 156 in the 30th ranked conference, and they got a 15.
Where are they going? Are they bussing?
Let me get back to you on that.
What I was going to say, for people that don't know, in the women's, in the men's, there are 8 spots, neutral sites that they host. In the women, there are 16. And if you are one of the top 4 seeds in each of the regions, the regionals are preset next weekend. Like Albany is one, I know. Lexington, Kentucky is the one Boise State is in. But the other 3 teams all come to the site. So number 1 seed in the whole tournament's UConn. 3 other teams come to Stores.
Correct. Now, by the way, they face South Carolina. Mm-hmm. So North Carolina, A&T, South
Bus,
Carolina.
Bus, UC, cha-ching. Travel.
Yep. Seattle U, which is the one that was really confusing about all this. They're from the WAC conference, of course, the 31st ranked conference.
Didn't even win the league.
No, they didn't win the league's regular season. They were 196 in the final RPI. They got a 15, which is better than Boise State. They're the team that ends up going to Oregon.
Bus. Yep. You can bus from Seattle. They probably fly you from Boise.
Grambling. They're in the 32nd ranked conference. Their final RPI was 211. They get a 15 seed. They get to face Baylor. Is that bus? It's closer.
Yeah, it probably is. Northwestern Louisiana over to Waco. Yeah, their airports probably wouldn't help you. That's probably a bus.
But that can't drastically alter it does
for baseball. They do the same thing for baseball with 4 teams in a spot, and they try to do it with busing, and you don't play somebody in your conference.
But a team from the 16th ranked conference, the regular season champs and the postseason champs, can't be the 16 seed that has to go to Louisville. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. The Mountain West had 4 WNIT teams, by the way. That bracket got announced, of course, after. yet the regular season champ gets a 16. None of them other conferences have four WNIT teams. None of them had an at-large one WNIT team. So it is really insane how they got the short end of the stick. If you want to bend it, bend them in the way of the positive and not in the negative. But, yeah, travel just playing way too large of a factor in it. And it gets frustrating because, you know, these teams and players, they were – no, pretty hard, and their schedule in the non-conference, you can poke maybe some holes at that. But, like, they all did this to not get the short end of the stick of having to face a number one seed, a top three team in the country in the NCAA tournament.
Men's tournament, one has never lost to a 16. Women's tournament, it's one. Happened once. Yeah. Harvard beat Stanford, so maybe Boise State can be number two at Louisville. Looking at the men's, the NIT going over to Washington, Boise State will have to travel, would have hosted in a year that the NIT, the NCAA wouldn't been here. And I just started looking at last year's tournament, and let's assume last year's is sort of a normal tournament. Home teams in the first round were 9-7. Boise State was one of the visiting teams to win at Utah. Home teams in round two were 4-4. Home teams in the semifinal, or the third round, the round that gets you to the Garden, were 2-2. So home teams were 2 over .500. The number one seeds, none of them last year made it to the Garden. So to me, this tournament is wide open with a capital W. And I think a lot of it, Chris, comes down to what teams want to keep their season going.
Is it that, like, the thing that the one seeds are the closest to making the NCAA tournament but not making it? So there's always the question of, okay, what is to be gained for them? Like, why do they want to continue when they really feel like they should be playing on the one that everybody's watching and filling out the bracket for? So, yeah, that doesn't surprise me whatsoever. And I think, you know, a case could be made, like, where does Boise State this year fall into that line? Because last year I thought they looked like a really motivated bunch. I mean, they were playing through injury and still looked like they had a guy in Chandler Hutchison who really was out here trying to put himself in the best position for the next season or the NBA draft pool, because he did dip his toe in the water with that. And Boise State had a good chunk of that team coming back, at least what we knew at the time. Like, we assumed, like, Paris Austin at the time was coming back, but we thought, like, a good part of that bunch was returning for the next season. So the Broncos were heavily motivated to have a good showing there. I think a case could be made what kind of Broncos squad will show up in Seattle come tomorrow.
I think it's going to be a motivated squad. I think the three best players on the team, at least down the stretch, have been the guys that will not be returning next year, the two grad transfers and Chandler. I think Chandler is extremely motivated to get that number 88. And I say the 88, that's the individual win total. He's tied with Mikey Thompson right now. Winning is important to Chandler, and I think that of a lot of the numbers that he has accumulated at Boise State, I think positioning himself, I'm saying that, I think would be important to him to be that number one guy, the winningest player ever in Boise State history. Chandler Hutchison, I think, is going to have a big game for Boise State. I think that the Huskies are going to have a lot of trouble defending him. I think he's going to be motivated to come back after that tough game against Utah State where he was in foul trouble and was never in rhythm. The reason Sengfelder and Williams chose coming to Boise State was they wanted to win. I believe those two guys are going to want to end their career on a better note than they would have ended it in Las Vegas. So I think you're looking at motivation. And then last year, we saw some guys like Dickinson and Hobbs play real well as they kind of – Dickinson kind of came out of nowhere to get 12 points against Utah. Mm-hmm. They were hurt at Illinois last year, and I'm using the word hurt, meaning multiple things. James Reed did not go. He suffered a concussion against Utah. He was their big threat from outside. David Wacker's shoulder was hurt. He didn't go. So they were a little bit – depleted when they got to Illinois, but it was a group that I thought was motivated. By the way, the seeds that got to the Garden last year, 2 4s, a 6 and an 8.
Yeah, good luck figuring out that bracket. You think the big one's hard to fill out? Try the NIT one. That one seems like it's a little more complicated. I mean, I get it, and I think the next step to that conversation would be determining what is a successful NIT for them. Like, is there a line of getting to winning one game, winning two games, erasing the feeling of losing the first game in the Mountain West tournament? Like, what does it?
I think Boise State is where they would be, a road game in the NIT, if they did everything with the exception to win the tournament. I don't think they would have gotten in the tournament even if they've gotten to the finals and lost. Didn't win enough games down the stretch. So you're kind of where you would have been, even unless you pull the San Diego State and won the whole thing. To me, getting to the Garden is the ultimate in this tournament. Best place I've ever called a game is the Garden. Last game at UMass I ever called was the NIT Final. We got beat. That was the best experience that I ever had at UMass, was calling the NIT Final Four at the Garden. I was there for 9 years. I think that that would be something that would be fantastic. Now, to get it done, I think, I don't want to say it would be unrealistic, but you're probably going to have to win three road games. Now, seeds don't hold in this tournament, so you may end up with one maybe down the road that comes back to Taco Bell Arena. But if the seeds held, you're going to have to win at Washington, you're probably going to have to win at St. Mary's, and you're going to have to win at either LSU or Utah if the seeds held.
All right, so I think for me it would go as simple as, can they have a game past when the NCAA tournament is here in Boise? Like, can they get a solo stage of, okay, the tournament has come and passed in Boise and the Broncos are still playing basketball? Like, that to me would that would be a win with this.
So you're probably looking at having to get to the second round, maybe the third, depending on when the second round game is.
Correct, because I do feel like it's going to get lost. Like, as much as it's fun to watch a Boise State game, like, basketball in Boise right now is not about the Boise State Broncos. It's about the four or the eight teams, the four games that will take place starting on Thursday. Like, that's what basketball in Boise is right now. But can the Broncos survive past when the teams are gone and set into their next stage, and we can still see the Broncos be able to play in the next week?
Let's find out what the matchup is going to be. Tony Castricone, the new voice of the Huskies, will join us next. You can make free throws for three free tourney tickets at Wendy's today, the official hamburger of the NCAA. Try today from 3 to 5:45 during Idaho Sports Talk with Caves and Prater. See if you can make the most free throws in a row on our Play It Again sports basket and win a free pair of all-session tickets to the tourney here in Boise, courtesy of Wendy's. Top two are going to win, and all contestants will get two chances to shoot, and ties will end in a random drawing. You must be at Wendy's new Overland and Maple Grove store today. Make free throws for free tournament tickets with Sports Radio The Ticket today from 3 to 5:45. A lot of basketball coming up here. 93.1 FM and 1350 AM will have NCAA tournament action. Chris will be doing the Boise State women's game at Louisville. That will be on 1350. That'll be Friday morning at 10 Mountain Time. And over on 670 KBOI tomorrow night at 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock tip, I will have Boise State and Washington in the NIT. Joining us right now to help preview that game is Tony Castricone, who is the new voice of the Huskies, getting set to host the Broncos in the NIT. Tony, thanks so much for visiting with us today.
Yeah, Bob, Chris, appreciate it.
So what kind of crowd do you think we're going to expect? A lot of these NITs don't draw overly well because the tickets have to be sold on a short amount of time. Are you expecting a decent turnout over there in Seattle tomorrow night?
You know, that's a really good question, and I think that the answer to that question we might really not know until tip-off, and that might be a determining factor in what happens in this game. I mean, the sixth man of the dog pack in a sold-out Alaska Airlines Arena has been really helpful in home wins against Arizona and a couple others this year. But, you know, there are some nights where maybe it's rainy and cold and people just don't want to trek out to the arena during rush hour. And, you know, it's not a sold out crowd or an electric atmosphere. So, you know, certainly the home court advantage is something that Washington didn't earn, being the 5 seed and Boise being the 4, but could be a determining factor in the game.
Now, Washington, new coach Mike Hopkins from Syracuse, running that zone over there with the Huskies. How has the adjustment been in year number one? It seems like they're much improved from where they were last year.
Yeah, the defense has completely turned around, and probably more than anything else, it's the attitude on defense. A lot of effort being displayed. You know, it took the 2-3 zone a while for guys to get used to it. And the fourth game of the year at Madison Square Garden in a tournament against Virginia Tech, they gave up 11 threes in the first half. They allowed the Hokies to hit 10 of their first 11, and obviously that's not what the zone is built to do, is allow teams to shoot the three that well. But as they got better at it, we started to see what this team was capable of. They held Kansas and USC, two teams that were shooting 40% on the season going into their respective games. They held them both to 5 and 3 three-pointers respectively over the course of 40 minutes, and they pulled off two gigantic road upsets in those games. And so when the Huskies have been able to make their threes and been able to clamp down on the opposing team's threes, it's normally been a recipe for success.
Tony, when you look at this Washington team, is there somebody that we want to pay attention to, somebody that when either folks are listening or watching on the ESPN3 broadcast, they'll want to pay extra special attention to? For Boise State, it's Chandler Hutchison. Do you guys have an obvious player that's number one?
Yeah, it's funny that you ask that, because that's kind of been the conversation down the stretch with this team. Whose team is this? You know, and I think that there's not really an easy answer to that. I mean, I think that there's four guys that all can kind of contribute and put the team on their shoulders on any given night. At the point guard spot, it's David Crisp, a guy that's been coming off the ball his entire career. And, you know, if you ask Coach Hop his thoughts on David Crisp, he just says, man, what an unselfish guy and what a team leader. To going into his junior year of college, after being a high-volume shooter throughout his career and being a guy that scores a lot, to embrace the role of trying to move over and learn the point. And when David Crisp is good, the Huskies are hard to beat. Freshman leading scorer Jalen Nowell averages 15.9 a game and is a top 10 scorer in the Pac-12. And he sputtered a little bit down the stretch of his freshman year, but certainly the Huskies don't have their big wins without Jalen Nowell being a fantastic scorer. Noah Dickerson was the NCAA Player of the Week. He's a big guy, 6'8", 6'9", but has great footwork and nice deft touch around the rim. And he's got 10 double-doubles this year, so he's certainly someone to keep an eye on. And then Matisse Thybul was the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year. And when Matisse knocks down threes, this team is really hard to stop, because he's always good on the defensive end of the floor. But he's capable of going off offensively as well. And so, you know, really, between Crisp, Noel, Dickerson, and Thybul, it's a well-balanced, well-rounded team that you got to pick your poison who you want to take away, and if someone else can step up on the scouting report for the Huskies, that normally leads to good things.
Tony Castricone joining us, the voice of the Huskies of Washington here on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio The Ticket. So, I mean, their ups and downs this season might be as drastic as any team in the country. I mean, having wins against Arizona and Kansas, but then losing twice, down the stretch of the year to Oregon State. I mean, like, that's about as high and low as you can get. What is closer to what Washington actually is and what they can be down the line?
Yeah, it's funny that we're entering the 33rd game of the year and we still kind of don't know. You know, it's really a team that I know Coach Hop is. First of all, he's a Pac-12 Coach of the Year for a reason. They won 9 games a year ago, and he's turned them around to 20 this year in his first season on the job. And a lot of that has been trying to change the mental makeup of a team that goes 9-22 last year and getting these guys to believe that they're capable of winning any given night that they go out there. But then, you know, I think it's less about what is this team truly like what's their true identity, and it's maybe more of a matchup thing. I mean, I think teams that have really effective zone busters in the middle of the zone have given Washington problems this year. Three teams in particular, Stanford, Oregon State, and Utah, have really good players offensively in the middle of that zone. Stanford, Reed Travis scored a career high 33 at home against Washington. Tyler Rawson had 2 big games for Utah. He's like a 6'9 scorer, slasher, distributor. And Trace Tinkle is kind of that guy for Oregon State as well. And those are 6 of Washington's 12 losses to those 3 teams, none of whom are in the NCAA tournament. And so I think that a player like that can give Washington headaches. And I haven't seen a lot of Hutchison this year, but he seems like that kind of guy. You know, Trace Tinkle is the only guy in the Pac-12 to be in the top 10 in the league in scoring, rebounds, assists, and steals. And when you read Hutchison's stat line, you know, he's high in all 4 of those categories too. He's that kind of player that can give Washington problems. So should be interesting to see how the Huskies try to defend him.
Tony, thanks so much for your time. Look forward to meeting you over there tomorrow. And one thing about the NIT, last year home teams were 15-13. I think it literally is a toss of the coin tomorrow night.
Yeah, Yeah, Bob, I think it comes down to who's motivated, yeah. who wants to be there, who's not too disappointed they're not in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, it should be a fun game, a really good matchup tomorrow night.
Thanks, Tony. See you tomorrow.
All right, you got it.
And that is Tony Castricone, voice of the Huskies. And one of the things we did not mention about the NIT, some of them you have familiarity with the women's sport, some you do not. Some tweaking of rules, which they do to kind of look at, maybe to put into the game down the line. Three-point line will be 20 inches further back, so it'll go to 22, 1 3/4 to parallel the international line. They're going to widen the lane to the NBA width from 12 feet to 16. Shot clock, they're going to go 30 seconds, but then if you get an offensive rebound, you're only going to get 20, so you can't run as much time off. And then the one you have seen in the women's, free throws with the fifth foul in each quarter, and then when the new quarter starts, they wipe it off and no one-on-ones.
I think that one maybe doesn't get the attention because, hey, it's still a 40-minute game, so like, does it really matter if you divide it into two 20-minute halves or four 10-minute quarters? But it does matter with the foul pile-up. And the fact is, the foul counter resets at the beginning of the quarter, and thus the game doesn't turn into a bunch of free throws late, which I think has helped the women's game because you just don't see a parade to the free throw line. Like, if you watch a bunch of games this week with the tournament, you'll see, like, from 8 minutes on to the rest of the half, there's a good chance with every whistle somebody's going to the free throw line, and that's not what you want with basketball. You don't want to see people standing and shooting free throws.
You also have a chance for four last-second types of possessions. Now, the one thing that the rules did not specify, and I'm guessing because they did not specify, it's not in there, women's game, you can advance the ball to half court. Nothing in these rules that I've seen printed says anything about advancing the ball.
Yeah, I don't think that's a thing for the NIT. That's a women's thing only at this point.
You like the advancing the ball?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, it gives you more of a chance of realistic buzzer beaters. Like, you know, especially in women's basketball, you're not hitting 70-footers. They can't, you know, you're not going to routinely hit those. Men's basketball, you don't routinely hit those. Anything that gives you more excitement. Now, I could also see the downside of you play good defense and you get a stop, you can call a timeout and advance it. For the other team's perspective, it's like, wait a minute, they didn't earn the opportunity to move the ball into the front court. So you could see it from both ways.
Looking forward to it. Boise State and Washington, first round of the NIT, 7:30 pregame tomorrow night. Chris, I'm going to head over to the airport to get out there with the team. Best of luck on your trip to Louisville. And the other two teams are, just in case, a win for Boise State?
What is it? Dayton and Marquette. So, hey, I guess you got to scout them a little bit, right? Got to figure out what they are.
Fill out a bracket now at the KTIK.com challenge at $2,000 for the winner. In Sports Radio, the Ticket's March Bracket Mania Challenge. Highest scoring bracket will win $2,000, and a random participant with a finished bracket will also get a $250 cash prize. So be sure to complete your bracket now at KTIK.com. Up next, we've got an update. What are the latest unofficial contracts for NFL free agents? Next, when we come back on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio, the Ticket.
Ticket Sports Update, sponsored by Franklin Building Supply. Visit franklinbuildingsupply.com to nominate your high school student as a high school hero. Again, go to franklinbuildingsupply.com to learn more. Well, in case you missed it, Boise State women's basketball will be heading to Louisville to play their game Friday against the number one seed Louisville Cardinals at 10 a.m. The Broncos got a 16 seed. Meanwhile, the BSU men's team will play tomorrow at 8 p.m. in the NIT. They'll be on the road against UW.
Yeah, 16 seed wasn't what they deserved. They deserved better. They had RPIs and played in a better conference, better than most of the 15 seeds. So they should have been in that 14 to 15 range. And they definitely got the short end of the stick. And you face a top three team in the country. But hey, doesn't that make for a better movie when they win, right?
Yeah, no one cares about the 15-2 matchup.
It's even though that's never happened, the one seed has lost before to the 16. The 15 has never beaten a 2 in a women's basketball tournament. Just like the opposite of the men. You see a 15-2 like once every, 4 years or so? A 15 over a 2? And you've never seen a 16 over a 1?
Yeah.
It's not likely, but if it does... Who's going to play each of the key figures?
I just want to know who's going to play Chris Lewis.
You think they're going to have a broadcaster part?
Well, they need
See,
to.
I mean, it's going obviously to be exaggerated like Hollywood, and like it's going to be play-by-play that plays over the public address like they always do in Hollywood movies for sports, which never happens.
I mean, you don't have play-by-play over the PA. So they need to have a Chris Lewis.
All right, so Michael B. Jordan, he'll play me.
Yeah, you guys look alike.
Exactly.
Yeah, you guys, you could sub in for Black Panther 2 and no one would notice a difference.
Exactly.
Well, the NCAA men's tournament starts today with the two play-in games. It's between LIU Brooklyn and Radford, and then St. Bonaventure and UCLA. Those games will be joined in progress tonight on 93.1 KTIK following Caves and Prater. And then your Orange play tomorrow, Chris. I think every single person in the country wants your Orange to lose by at least 40. Except you.
I mean,
because they were unfairly handed a berth to the NCAA tournament.
I'm sorry, Arizona State, like, they weren't even good in the Pac-12 this year.
But they beat good teams.
Non-conference way. Once they got to league play, they were awful.
Yeah. But, I mean, everyone in Southern Cal is going to root for Syracuse to lose because the Syracuse was the last team in, despite USC having an RPI in the top 40. I'm just telling you, because there'll be a lot of people who want Syracuse to lose by, like, 50.
And guess what? Syracuse, no matter what, gets into the field at 64, considering like all the play-by-play announcers of the tournament are from Syracuse.
Syracuse
is always in the big dance, y'all.
Maybe that's why it's stacked for the Orange. Well, the new NFL league year will officially start tomorrow. However, yesterday, the memorandum on contacting free agents ended, meaning that free agents can unofficially agree to deals, so nothing officially done yet. Well, there's one deal that's officially done. That would be Drew Brees. He is returning to the Saints. 2 years, $50 million. Which really is $27 million guaranteed, and then a team option for next year, so we can do the whole thing all over again. But I no longer need to panic. Drew Brees will be a Saint for life, hopefully.
Yay, you get to be happy and appreciate the fact that Drew Brees has chosen to go back to New Orleans.
And turn down more money, I think, for the first time ever.
Where did he turn down more money?
There's been reported by ESPN that an unnamed team was offering him 2 years, $60 million, fully guaranteed.
Somebody needs to name that team, though.
The Jets?
This is a hometown discount. The question that stands out is, like, why did he wait until the doorstep of free agency to take it? Like, he could have taken a hometown discount much earlier. So they had to get something that they wanted squared away. Like, there clearly was a little bit of a,
this isn't
you
the
need
best
to do this for
discount,
me.
Yeah. But it's a little bit. He gave up $30 million from an unnamed team. So just, I'm celebrating. That's all you need to know, Chris. Well, unofficially, the big domino to fall was Kirk Cousins. He announced that he will plan to sign with Minnesota. The Vikings and Cousins have agreed to a 3-year, $84 million contract that is, according to Adam Schefter, fully guaranteed. Which I think is a first in the NFL, at least on a big-term contract.
Isn't he right now the hero? He's the hero of all NFL players.
I believe Doug Baldwin tweeted out, said you're a hero to young players who need to follow your model.
Now we need more players to bet on themselves until fully guaranteed contracts are the norm, not the exception. So, that's what Doug Baldwin said on Twitter. So, Kirk Cousins out here being the trailblazer. Who would have thought that Kirk Cousins, of all people, would be the leader of the pack, the voice of the player in all this. But good for him.
Definitely not RG3.
Yeah, the RG3. RG3 just got married, though. So hey, congratulations, RG3. I'm married again.
Hopefully this one works out a little better. Hopefully Redskins fans aren't buying your gifts this time. Well, speaking of quarterbacks, last year's quarterback to the Vikings, Case Keenum, appears to also have a new home. Sounds like he'll be headed to Denver to take over for the Broncos, which...
This quarterback market is spicy.
Yeah.
Spicy is a good word to describe it. Coming up at 2:15, we're going to really hammer in who's the winner, who's the loser, and what is still to spin on this quarterback market, which is definitely more intense than some of the years past where there's like nobody there and the only name that's changing places is Geno Smith.
Is he a free agent this year? He should be, right? I highly doubt the Giants gave him multiple years.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, outside the quarterback, some big-name receivers also on the move today. Sammy Watkins on his third team in the last year. He signs with the Kansas City Chiefs officially tomorrow. That's replacing Albert Wilson, who's headed to Miami. And then JP Chicago Bears. JP spent the entire offseason bragging about how much money they've had. They added Allen Robinson and then Greg Burton. If you don't remember Greg Burton, that's the guy who threw the touchdown pass to Nick Foles in the Super Bowl. In case you forgot, I think that might ring a bell.
Gotcha. Wasn't that Trey Burton?
Maybe it was Trey Burton. Maybe I wrote down the wrong name.
So is it Greg Burton who signed or Trey Burton?
It's Trey Burton. It's the Burton that threw the touchdown. I don't know why. Okay. I put Greg.
Okay, I'm just.
I'm
a little confused.
I mean, he got $42 million for one touchdown pass. So
maybe you combine Greg Olsen and Trey Burton into one tight end. That'd be a pretty good
tight end. That'd be a good tight end. He can throw and catch.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm onto something here. Well, go to baseball really quick. Season only a few weeks away from starting, and the Miami Marlins without one of their prominent celebrities as of right now. That's because Marlins man has yet to renew his season ticket to the team after he said they denied his reasonable request. And here were his reasonable requests, Chris, or at least some of them. Ceremonial first pitch. Okay, that's reasonable. Marlins man Mondays every Monday for games.
Let's go. Shoot for the stars, man.
And then Derek Jeter riding in the Marlin Mobile.
The Marlin Mobile.
It's
what
like
is that?
An old school cat. If it's like a 50s Cadillac with a Marlins paint scheme on it. And apparently he's asked Derek Jeter several times.
Why won't Derek Jeter ride in that?
I don't know.
Like below his level of style?
I guess
Jeter
so.
Only rides in limos?
Yeah. I would be a fan of Marlins Man Mondays.
Marlins Man Mondays.
Every Monday game.
What would go down on Marlins Man Mondays?
I don't think we could legally say on the radio, based off his previous antics, what goes down on Marlin Man Mondays.
Yeah, because he's had some entertaining friends, you should say. At
some entertaining mermaids is what they're called.
Mermaids?
Yeah, mermaids.
That's right.
I believe that's what he calls them.
Calls them mermaids.
Yeah.
Dude, man. He's living everybody's dream right now. But the ceremonial first pitch is where I would draw the line. Actually, what has he done to get a first pitch? You can't pay money to get a first pitch. But you have to actually like accomplish something.
He endorses the brand literally everywhere.
I suppose he does pay a
brand
lot of money.
Brand management.
To go. So you're just going you wear a bunch of Marlins jerseys where you go. So you're going to throw out the first pitch. Like usually,
you need 82 first pitches. I'm sure someone somewhere has bought a first pitch before.
I pretty much think every one of the first pitches are bought in a way, some way, somewhere. Sponsor,
yeah,
partner of the team, something. But this would be too blatant.
Let him do it.
You ask for him to throw out the ceremonial first pitch. The next request is to actually throw out the first pitch in the game.
I mean, he'd probably be an upgrade whoever's pitching that day anyway. So.
Well, you're still out here wearing the Florida Marlins hat.
They're doing well in spring training. I mean, they're getting killed today.
You jumped off the bandwagon. You said you stopped
being a fan
of them.
I mean, I know. I've been following them roughly in spring training. They started 5-1, and now they're 6-5. They're losing 11-1 today. It's a comfy hat. I'm working on a replacement.
It's a comfy
hat? I can't wear
a
Saints hat in the offseason. It's just weird.
Well, you're wearing a Marlins hat, a Florida Marlins hat. They're not even a team
anymore. Yeah,
that's
because the Miami Marlins hats are ugly.
You say it's weird for you to wear a Saints hat during the offseason.
Yes, it is weird.
Yet you're wearing a Florida Marlins hat. The Florida Marlins haven't been a team in how many years?
4 or 5. So you're telling me anyone who wears a retro jersey is weird?
Well, I'm not even saying it's weird, but you drew the line at weird saying that it's weird to wear a Saints hat during the offseason.
At least it's baseball season. At least it's baseball season. And people respect the Florida Marlins. They don't respect the Miami Marlins.
The two-time World Series champion Florida Marlins is what you're saying?
2 times in 5 years.
Make free throws for free tournament tickets at Wendy's, the official hamburger of college basketball. Try today from 3 till 5:45 during Idaho Sports Talk with Caves or Prater and see if you can make the most free throws in a row in our Play It Again Sports Basket. And win a free pair of all-session tickets to the tournament here in Boise, courtesy of Wendy's. Tie 2, they win. All contestants will get 2 chances to shoot, and ties will end in a random drawing. You must be at Wendy's New Overland and Maple Grove store today. Make free throws for free tournament tickets with Sports Radio, the ticket, today from 3 until 5:45. Fish, what's the record for free throws you've ever made consecutively?
2.
What?
I don't shoot many free throws.
You ever even, like, go to the park and shoot them?
No, because every time I go and you have a pickup game, you know, you shoot a free throw to see who's on the team.
Yeah,
you shoot them. I always make 2, and then I'm on the team. I mean, it just never seems. And then I get in the game, and I miss them all. I have airballed a free throw before.
You've airballed free throws. That's not good.
But I wasn't on the bench watching because I couldn't make one when it counted.
See, I am somebody who has a trophy back at home, a trophy case of a free throw champion, regional free throw champion.
How many did you make?
I think it was, like, either 18 or 19 of 20. So, yeah, free throws, maybe my strength. But I can't win this, can I? I want some tournament tickets, but...
You won't be here.
I know.
I'm sure you could
be here today, but I won't be here for the tournament
games. The game isn't today, unfortunately.
I could get there if the team doesn't win, which, again, I'm not saying the team won't win. But
you'll miss the first round.
They might be back by Saturday, but they're going to win, so I'm going to be there.
So you miss both rounds anyway, yeah.
At least. Up next is Quick Hits, including, besides Syracuse... What other team that a lot of people say didn't deserve to make the tournament that I want them to win their first round matchup. That's next on Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Quick Hits with Bob and Chris. Topic number one.
All right, no Bob, because he has NIT action to get ready for and get on a flight to Seattle. So Fish in that Bob spot. And Fish, while Drew Brees is nice, what free agent signing do you really want to see the Saints make?
Jimmy Graham. I would be very excited for a Jimmy Graham-Drew Brees reunion. According to several people on Twitter, Graham is between the Packers and Saints. The Saints have been negotiating apparently for several hours, but they have started to stall on their negotiation. But I would love nothing more to see Jimmy Graham back as a Saint. While I don't think he ever should have left, that trade worked out wonderful for the Saints, so I can't complain about it.
Yeah, who'd you get?
We got Max Unger.
And he was good?
Yeah, that was part of it. He centers the line. It was the best offensive line in football,
right,
so
you
can't complain about a good center.
So you would get Jimmy. Do you really want Elder Jimmy Graham back? You got old now.
Well, Colby Fleener has been nothing but a bust.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, we do.
Okay, but now if you're Jimmy Graham, Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers? The thing is, I would say Drew Brees. Aaron Rodgers doesn't like throwing to tight ends.
Yep.
It's just it's a fact. Ever since, what was it, like JerMichael Finley, when Aaron Rodgers just came into the league, they've had talented tight ends at that spot, and they just don't get targets. Because Rodgers likes throwing to the outside. He likes those deep post routes. He throws to receivers. He doesn't throw to tight ends as often. Drew Brees, he was throwing to Colby Fleener. Like, as bad as Colby Fleener was,
He really tried.
He would get those reps. They would try to get him the ball a lot. And they were back, they had two tight end sets. Ben Watson, was he another guy who kept getting the ball, too?
Ben Watson, like a career year that he parlayed into, like, $10 million.
So, like, that's what I'm saying. If I'm Jimmy Graham, I know Aaron Rodgers might be in the GOAT conversation when it's all said and done, but of the guys who actually will get me my numbers that I need, I think Drew Brees is more likely to do it.
Drew Brees also probably understands he won't block. Aaron Rodgers might ask Jimmy Graham to block, and that would just be a debacle, as Seattle learned.
Topic number two.
Fish, I'm going to ask you number two. We're going to leave my two college basketballs back to back.
All right.
Who will now be the most fun team to play in Madden 19, at least offensively?
Well, I want to say the Saints. I'm going to hold that until they sign Jimmy Graham. Because if everything goes as planned, it's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. They got Patrick Mahomes, who had the best arm in Madden last year.
What was it, like a 98 throw
98
power?
98 throw power. Yeah. So you can get it deep to Tyreek Hill. And they added Sammy Watkins, who's better than Albert Wilson as your number two receiver. I'll just put it that way. Plus, you have Travis Kelce. The Chiefs will be the most fun offensively. You're going to give about 50 points a game on the Chiefs defense, unless they draft a stud, because they have nobody on defense anymore.
Eric Berry is supposed to be back, though, right?
Yeah, but they lost Marcus Peters. They lost Tom Ali. They lost their other linebacker. They don't have anyone else besides Eric Berry.
That's fair. They're loading up offensively, but is it? I'm not sure what they're trying to accomplish here. Like, they've made a lot of trades, they've made a lot of moves, but they really must think that Mahomes is his dude, right? Like, they have a ready-made team. And they got rid of an older quarterback who was probably more, you know, you could trust him more. The problem is he had enough evidence that he cannot reach the high ceiling needed to win a championship. And maybe Mahomes is your guy. But you're just talking about Madden, right?
I don't care about real life. I'm talking about Madden.
Yeah. Madden, yeah, you're right. What's his throw accuracy going to be?
I think last year was like an 80, which was okay. He would miss some deep throws, but I don't care. If he can outthrow the
cannon,
if he can outthrow the coverage, who cares if he misses five times? You only got to hit it twice.
Tyreek Hill, underrated, tough to use in Madden. Tyreek Hill, too small.
See, but the thing is, most people underestimate. Now, when I played you, you were smart. You backed off Tyreek Hill. A lot of people, they'll press, and Tyreek Hill's gone. I just call it a go route. They press, he's gone. I don't care who you have.
That's the thing. You got to, like. That's why I beat you. Should I give you the advice to beat me?
No, I don't need it. I'll beat you. Just wait. I think there's rumors of a Madden tournament in the works.
There's rumors.
Rumors.
Rumor has it.
Rumor
has starting these rumors.
Just a small bird has told me.
Okay.
Topic number three.
All right, Chris, besides your Syracuse Orange, what other team that didn't deserve to make the tournament are you rooting for to win a game?
I don't think Oklahoma deserved to make the tournament.
No.
They also, 8 of their last 11. They were terrible down the stretch. Since the calendar turned to 2018, they've just not been a good basketball team. Trey Young's a fantastic talent. That said, please tell me, you'd rather have Oklahoma beat Rhode Island in the 7-10 matchup in Pittsburgh, right? Because if you can get a second-round matchup of Trey Young versus Duke, that's going to be
Well, that Duke has to win.
Against Iona.
Yeah, what?
They've lost as I think they've lost as a two before, right? Yep. To a 15, like they've done that. Last year they lost as a two, the second round to South Carolina. But I think Oklahoma versus Duke would be that like center stage game on CBS, just like the on the other side of the bracket, Kentucky and Arizona here in Boise has a chance to be. Duke, their national fan base against perhaps the most compelling individual watch. I want to see that game. I think that would create a lot of takes. That would be a fun draft game because, you know, Trae Young, potential top 10 pick. Duke with Wendell Carter, Marvin Bagley on that squad. Those are potential top 15 draft picks. Bagley will probably be top 6. I want to see that battle. Bring it on in Pittsburgh, Duke versus Oklahoma.
So the only problem with that battle is that could be a 30-point at halftime with Trae Young 7 of 30 from the field and Duke just crushing them inside.
But Duke plays zone. That's the weird thing. If you've seen Duke play a lot this year, they play 2-3 zone. You're not playing a 2-3 zone against Oklahoma.
That has a chance to be
Oklahoma.
An ugly game. I'm just saying it has a chance to be ugly, Chris.
Topic number 4.
All right, Chris, you've got about a day and a half. Have you decided on your Final Four yet?
Nah, I haven't really filled out my ideal winning bracket that's going to win every pool that I'm in. Haven't really figured that one out. I think this is a year where I think everybody's Final Four is going to be drastically different. It's going to be hard to build any kind of consensus. Like, in the South region, should you pick Virginia to win a championship?
No.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
You can't? Okay.
No.
Cincinnati, you can
no,
pick
you
them to go
pick,
to the Final Four.
You can't pick them, no.
Kentucky, Arizona,
it's going to be the winner of that
realistic
game. I'll give advice to everyone listening. It's going to be the winner of Kentucky, Arizona, right, out of the South. Just mark it down right now.
I haven't seen anybody talk about Xavier, but Xavier has balled out in the Big East this year, and the Big East got some real good squads. They won that conference in the regular season. So I think that they're a threat. North Carolina, they always are tough to beat in March, especially in the second game of a weekend. We're always Kansas is going to be there. Like, this is – I still have to sit down and fill this out, but this more than a lot of other years, I just think everybody's Final Four is going to be different.
Well, you already
that's
have,
coming off of a year where, what, like, South Carolina made it to the Final Four.
At least you have one team already in your Final Four, Chris.
Syracuse, let's
yep,
go.
Yep.
Up next – all right, Boise State women's basketball, they're in the Big Dance. Gordy Prestel, their head coach, up next. You just heard the Broncos Sports Today with Bob Beeler, who's no longer here, by the way. He's off to Seattle for some, you know, NIT game against the Washington Huskies. That Broncos Sports Today, put together by Bob, was about Boise State women's basketball and their now upcoming NCAA tournament matchup with the number one seed, the Louisville Cardinals, and joining us on the phone to talk about that and the reaction that the team had is Coach Gordy Prestel of Boise State. Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining.
Oh, thank you for having me on the show.
All right. So 16th seed against Louisville. I mean, we were talking earlier, and you mentioned it a bit on the Broncos Sports Today. Not exactly what the team was expecting. So what did you think of the team's reaction, and what was your reaction?
You know, it kind of surprised all of us. You look at all those bracketology stuff, and one had us going as a 12 to DePaul, and one had us as a 13 to UCLA, and one had us just going over to Oregon. And so we didn't really see that one coming, but it is what it is, and we got to go back there and, you know, hopefully earn their respect.
Well, I mean, for those not familiar with, like, how the selection process goes and what is under consideration when they do the seeding, from your experience, what is usually considered when they rank it in these brackets?
There's a lot of different kind of analytics probably for the first 9 or 10 seeds, and then the last 4 seeds are predominantly based on, you know, RPI and then also, you know, distance to venue. And so we had a rough RPI. There are about 350 schools that play women's basketball, and so our RPI this year was 111. We had a real rough pre-Christmas part of our season when we had some tough losses and had some injuries, and so that directly affected this. And so there's about 5 or 6 schools that have RPIs below us, actually worse RPIs than us, that are in the tournament, but because of the distance to venue, you know, like a CLU who has a 196 RPI, they're just going to bust them to Eugene. And Grambling is going to get bust. And so that moved us from a 15 seed RPI-wise to a 16 seed. And we're on a plane tomorrow to Louisville.
We're joined by Coach Gordy Presnell of Boise State with the Broncos heading off to the NCAA tournament to take on Louisville. And that game, of course, will be Friday in the start time of 10 a.m. Mountain Time. You can hear it on 1350 a.m. The Ticket. Now, on that note, like, would you, at least from my opinion, I would like for the selection committee to almost be a little bit transparent with those reasons and almost rank them 1 to 64 and say, hey, this is what our ranking system would be, but thanks to bracket arrangement and travel purposes, we have to seed it this way. Because having a 16 by the Bronco name when somebody like Seattle U gets a 15 by their name, I think that's a little bit hurtful for, you know, I mean, you're in the tournament, so, I mean, it's almost rich people problems with this, but, like, Boise State shouldn't have a 16 by their name when Seattle U has a 15.
Yeah, it's disappointing. We didn't earn a 16 seed. We earned at least a 15 seed. And but, you know, last year our RPI was, I believe, 46 going into the tournament, and we were a 13 seed. So there was a lot of politics involved. And regardless, we have to figure out a way to get that 12 seed to where you're playing someone on a neutral site in women's basketball. And that's what we have to do with our preseason schedule, and then continue to play well in the conference season. But, yeah, you know, for all the millions of dollars being spent, you know, I don't know how much money they're actually saving busing CLU to Oregon.
Yeah, that's true. Now, on that note, I mean, like, the way I phrase it, okay, it's just going to be even better of a movie if Boise State goes on and wins the game. Like, it'll be even better of a movie if they go as a 16 seed and go over to Louisville and knock out the Cardinals. Now, of course, not going to be easy, and you've probably just begun the deep dive into research about what the Cardinals have. But ACC Player of the Year, Inaisha Durr, they're 32-2. So what has stood out to be maybe perhaps the biggest challenge in a big challenge of facing Louisville?
Well, you know, it happened one time about 10, 15 years ago. Stanford was beat by Harvard, who was a 16 seed. Allison Feaster, one of the greatest players in NCAA tournament history, carried Harvard over Stanford. So it's been done once, and we're going to go back there, and they're very, very talented. You know, they beat Notre Dame this weekend by 2 in the ACC championship, but the last time they played Notre Dame in Louisville, they won by 33. So it's a very, very formidable opponent, very athletic. And so what we're doing is we're going to go in there, and we have basically one senior that plays quite a bit and one junior that plays quite a bit. And everyone else has got two more years left in this program. And so we're going to go back there and try to be the best 16th seed there is and learn a lot and try to apply that into the future of our program.
Coach Gordy Presnell, Boise State women's basketball, joining us here on Idaho Sports Talk. And, you know, the motto throughout the year for the team has been adversity. Great. So you got adversity, more adversity going to Louisville. Great. So on that note, though, Shay Shaw, she will become the first player in Boise State program history to appear in three different NCAA tournaments. For her to be able to do it, senior from Reno, who is a contributor in all different areas for the Broncos, what does that say about her being a part of all this postseason success?
You know, I think she has been an amazing culture kid, and she's helped define the culture of our program. She's been a winner since the time she was on the varsity as a freshman at Reno, in Reno at the high school down there. And she's carried that over in us. And, you know, she got to play that freshman year with Deanna Weaver, who was a culture kid, and then Brooke Palco and Jytha Rodriguez, and now the kids we have around her this year. And so she's carried that all the way through her career, and she's been very, very willing to do anything what it takes to be successful. Has never given us a bit of problem, just an absolutely wonderful kid, and very proud of her for all her accomplishments. And very few people have the career resume that she has, and obviously just been really fortunate to be part of her life.
Well, you brought up what Louisville's good at and the challenges that, you know, they present. But how about on the Boise State side? If things go their way, what would it look like with on the Boise State side? The perfect game, if you will, for Boise State to beat the Cardinals.
Sure. We have to control some sort of the pace. And then we have got to take the first available shot because we might not get another one. And right now they switch all their guard line, but they don't switch bigs and littles. So we're going to try to do a lot of bigs and little switches to see if we can free Riley up a little bit and get her as many attempts as we can. And we don't want her passing up shots. But, you know, Asia Durr, their star player, has almost 103 makes as well. So it's a great challenge for us, and that's how we're taking it. And it is some adversity. But, boy, I think we can really get better from it, no matter if we win the game or, you know, score 10 points. We're going to get better from getting to play against those guys.
As a person calling the game, I hope you score more than 10. I mean,
let's
get more than 10.
As a person coaching the game, I hope I do, too.
Coach Prestel, appreciate the time. I'm looking forward to heading off to Louisville with you guys coming up tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
All right, again, Coach Gordy Prestel, the game, Boise State and Louisville. It'll be Friday, 10 a.m. Mountain Time. It's really the first game of the tournament, by the way. It gets it started. That Friday is the first day in the noon Eastern, 10 o'clock Mountain Time, like the first window. So Boise State and Louisville basically get the tournament started.
So you got to shock the world first, right?
Yeah, that would talk about a statement within the 60 beating one in the first game of it, the first window. That would send a little bit of shockwaves. Fill out a bracket now at KTIK.com to win $2,000 in the Sports Radio The Ticket March Bracket Mania Challenge. Highest scoring bracket will win $2,000, and a random participant with a finished bracket will also win a $250 cash prize. So be sure to complete your bracket now at KTIK.com. And Michael Fisher, you were talking during one of the breaks about you've filled out your bracket.
Yep.
I haven't filled out a bracket, but you said something that really made me a little annoyed. You said brackets.
Yeah, I filled out two.
You filled out two. You said plural brackets.
Yeah, I filled out two of them.
Why did you fill out more than one?
I have one take on my dad, which I've got to win because it's family bragging rights, and then I've got another one take on my friends.
Why isn't that the same bracket?
Because there's, you know, the big one I usually change is the 8-9 games, especially the games where I have no idea. You know, Creighton, Kansas State is one that pops out. I kind of just flip-flop back and forth, so I pick one, then I pick the other.
But you think that one team's going to win, so you pick that
team.
It's
like 50-50.
I don't rock with that. Like, I don't think that's the way you should do it.
I mean, this isn't like I'm going like all 16 seeds so I can brag.
So
about.
Which one do you believe in?
Neither of them.
You don't believe in any
Because one of them I have Kansas. And the other one, I have Arizona. I believe in either of them.
So you have different champions. Yep. So you're not changing just the 8-9 game. You're changing your champion.
Yes. Which really the only change was in one bracket I have Kentucky winning that game, and the other bracket I have Arizona winning that game. And then they follow the same path. It's just a different name.
That people do it, so I can't
see,
say
I feel like I'm not the
island.
Guy who has like, oh yeah, my one bracket I had New Mexico State beating Auburn, but in three other ones I had Auburn. No, I...
That's like having a lot of fantasy football teams and then like, well, I'm rooting for David Johnson to get 100 yards and a touchdown, but I can't have him get two touchdowns or else I lose
one week. No, I have the same major upsets. It's usually the later round, Sweet 16 and pass, I kind of change up some games. But I'm not the guy who's like, well, I've got Auburn in my fun bracket, but I've got New Mexico State in my serious bracket.
But then in my upset bracket,
yeah,
I
then
have
in my
this,
upset bracket,
but then
I've
I
got,
pick this one with mascots.
No, I don't do that. I have two brackets, and they're very similar. Just a couple key games are changed, Chris.
One true bracket. That's the thing. I'm also waiting until Wednesday because it's an advantage. I will pick Syracuse to win at least a couple of games unless they lose their play-in. Then
but
I won't
play-in teams usually win. So you're going to tell me you won't pick Arizona State even if they beat Syracuse?
No, I'm not going to pick Arizona State to go as far as I would pick Syracuse to go.
But you won't pick
absolutely
them to win
the
first
not.
Game?
Maybe I'd win their first game, but there's a chance I'd pick Syracuse to go to the Final Four. Last time they went to the Final Four, I didn't pick them to win two games, and they went to the Final Four.
So I don't think you should pick them to win two games again.
And they'll go back to the Final
yeah, exactly.
Four because it's my power, right? I have the power to
just
determine
just like
Syracuse's
I don't watch
Saint
fate. Games and they win, you determine Syracuse by your lack of faith in them.
Understandable. Up next, all right, this NFL free agency, by the way, hasn't really officially begun, but everything's already decided who won and who lost before it even started. That's next on Sports Radio, The Ticket. Perhaps the most intriguing quarterback market in NFL free agency since, what, 5, 6, 7? Like, there's really never been, like,
Matt
multiple
Flynn.
Quarterbacks on the market where teams are willing to pay, like, guaranteed money above $15 million per season to have them start for their team. This usually doesn't happen. If there's a quarterback that's good enough to be a starter, they typically aren't available for everybody to have access to. But this year is a little bit different. So I think the number one reason, like the number one thing of diving into this topic is why do you think that there are more quarterbacks available this year than in previous years? And
I think part of it is the fact that the Jaguars have made a run this year without an elite quarterback. The Eagles won a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback, and teams are seeing that, hey, maybe we don't have to be the one to invest $15 to $20 million a season in an average quarterback. We don't have to do that. We can spread our cap resources at other positions, offensive line, defensive line, build up our defense, and which is why I've always said the number one asset in the NFL is a above-average starting quarterback on a rookie deal, because that allows you to fill out your roster at other places while still getting high-level production from your quarterback. So given evidence of that, Seattle with Russell Wilson's another example of their run of a great defense, and they had a above-average quarterback on a rookie contract, very affordable. Now Russell Wilson makes a lot of money. All of a sudden, they can't invest that same amount of money in their defense. I think GMs are seeing this. Guys like Kirk Cousins, who is available. Guys like Case Keenum, who is available. Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Bradford, even Nick Foles, who right now is a backup quarterback for Philly, and if he gets traded, he'll probably be with a new contract. Teams are like, you know what? Not me. I don't need to be the one. Now, there's always some team with it, you know, and I don't think the Vikings are exactly getting the greatest deal in the world when they're paying, what is it, 3 years? 80-something million?
84.
Guarantee money. Full guarantee. No salary cap relief if he underperforms. That, to me, is almost a mismanagement of assets. Because the Vikings, what was it, last year, traded a first-round pick for Sam Bradford.
Yep.
First-rounder. You know how valuable those are in the NFL? First-round draft picks? And you threw it away for Sam Bradford, who got hurt within the first, what, game? Didn't he get hurt in the first game against your Saints?
That was the second year. The first year they traded him, he played the whole year.
Okay.
This year,
I don't think Sam Bradford's ever played a whole year. So I'm going to say he played a whole year.
Well, he set the NFL completion record last year. So he played enough games 2 years ago to actually qualify. This year, yeah, he got hurt in the first game.
Okay.
But still won and then couldn't play for the rest of the year.
So he traded a first-round draft pick for that. And now you're investing 80-something million dollars in cap space over a three-year span to bring in another quarterback. When you had somebody who you brought in for the bare minimum, basically, as a free agent deal in Case Keenum, and he was good enough for that team to reach the NFC Championship game. Now, maybe you could say it was fluky, or you could say they got hammered in the NFC Championship game, so it wasn't good enough. But I sense just a drastic mismanagement of assets because, A, it wasn't long ago when they drafted Teddy Bridgewater with a first-round pick. They invested a first-round pick in Sam Bradford and had him for basically a season. And now 3 years and $80 million. Like, if that's an NBA team, like, that's almost grounds for getting fired, wasting that many assets.
The power of optimism, Chris.
Now, the good thing about them is they've hit on some draft picks in the middle rounds with their defense, so they built up a good defense. And I think Mike Zimmer is one of the best coaches in the NFL.
And they've got about 3 or 4 years on those defensive guys before their contracts expire.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You can't waste these prime assets like this.
No, but that's why you go with the short deal on Kirk Cousins as opposed to paying 6 years.
3 years well,
but
is yeah, a short
but
it, deal
what
in
if
the
they
NFL
went
6 years,
guaranteed? 120 with only $50 million guaranteed? Then you're stuck with Kirk Cousins for 6 years, and you might not have as much cap space down the line if he continues to perform.
I think their window is closer to being now and to, hey, let's say, what is it, 3 years, $84 million, and do we have Case Keenum's numbers?
I don't think they've been
released. Case Keenum
yet.
Is about $18 million.
Yep. Which, wait, he got 18 and Bradford got 20?
That's what Pro Football Talk said, that Case Keenum at 18 mil and Kirk Cousins is closer to 30 mil. With the guarantee out, 3 years, $84 million, so it's a little bit over $20 million. That difference is a number one receiver,
like but you number one have receiver. Two number
okay, or okay, you could put it is an elite cornerback or an above average pass
rusher. That's what happens when teams think they're one player away. They're going to overspend on the guy they think they can get him there.
Yeah, but like the NFL, where depth is so important too, and there's 22 positions on the field.
you're throwing away a high-level starter at a different position for the difference between Case Keenum and Kirk Cousins. And I don't know if the difference between Case Keenum and Kirk Cousins, when Keenum last year had a better completion percentage and got you within the game of the Super Bowl, is the difference between those two worth an above-average starter at a different position? I don't think so.
No, but that's the problem with the quarterback market in the NFL right now. That's why Drew Brees is getting $27 million guaranteed at 39 years old.
39 years
27 million guaranteed.
But he hasn't shown any signs of drop off.
But he's still 39.
Really good.
I'm just saying, a 39 year old is getting paid what you could pay two high level starters at any other position in the NFL.
I think the Vikings are losers in this. And they might have the best quarterback of the group that signed, but the investment that they've paid to that position, the amount of resources compared to the rest of the field, I think that's going to hurt them. I think the Broncos got better value with Case Keenum. Sam Bradford to the Cardinals. Sam Bradford out here banking about record-setting amount of contract that he's gotten. $134 million in career earnings going into his ninth year. Do you know his record as a starter? 34-45-1. I don't think he's really bad. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback, but he hasn't been reliable. And
he had one good year.
In the NFL, you kind of need to be reliable. He's getting a one-year, $20 million deal, 15 of it guaranteed to go to the Cardinals.
But are they losing?
He has banked more money for less production and less games played than anybody ever.
Yeah, but I think the Cardinals actually came out maybe the most heavy because you only get him for 1 year.
Yeah, if he's good, it works out, draft somebody.
You just bridge to the next quarterback. You have somebody who can sit behind him for a year. Now, their problem is they're stuck at 15 in the draft. So you might be stuck with the Lamar Jackson, who's the lowest rated of the first-round quarterbacks, and then you have to build your offensive around him. But still, this is probably the best deal because he sucks. You get rid of him after 1 year. He's good. All right, you had a good year. And now you know what you need going forward.
Yeah, but what's the opportunity cost? That's the thing. $20 million, again, for a year. You're the Cardinals. Could you have signed a couple of other different players at different positions, and it could have made your team better? Or you could have signed those players on bargain deals longer term and have more player control on a shorter deal for, let's say, an above-average linebacker or a pass rusher. So if there is an opportunity cost of the one-year $20 million deal to Sam Bradford. So
the quarterback market eventually will need to be fixed in the NFL. Yeah. I don't know if we need a special rule or something, because this, what, 10 years from now, if there's $30 million now, it's only going up. Are we going to see a quarterback get 50% of the cap at one point?
I mean, have we not seen that yet?
I think it's about 30% of the cap.
Yeah, the franchise tag, what is it, like,
Well, with Flacco getting $30 million, the cap's about 110.
Okay. So, yeah, that's a high percentage of it. So, all right, what's left in this quarterback market? You mentioned Breeze to the Saints, Alex Smith. It's not official yet, right? He's still not official.
It'll go official tomorrow, but with Kirk Cousins no longer having the ability to be franchise tagged. It's basically official.
So he's official. Now, Nick Foles is still an option, right, as a trade candidate?
For a first-round pick, according to sources.
Hey, and you're the Eagles. You don't back down on that.
No, but I don't think anyone's going to pay a first-round pick for Nick Foles.
And you also have a quarterback coming off of a torn ACL with a hope of repeating as champion. You don't get rid of Nick Foles unless you're getting extreme plus value, and usually with quarterbacks, and it might be until after the draft when teams realize who they do or don't get, you still have the best available option at QB. Maybe Teddy Bridgewater, unless you really think he's going to bounce back and be healthy. But Foles just won a Super Bowl, so he's not.
Exactly, and that's the thing with the Eagles. With Sam Bradford, they can say, well, see, we got a first and a fourth for Sam Bradford, and now we have a guy who's a Super Bowl MVP. So you better pay us more than that. The Eagles have somehow won.
They're in a position
by signing a million quarterbacks.
Because they were the mismanagement of assets before the Vikings.
Yeah, that's when they signed Bradford,
yes,
Chase Daniels, and drafted Carson Wentz.
And
it worked.
It somehow worked out. Teams that still need one. The Bills, and they're discussing trading up, if you believe the reports coming out of Buffalo.
Well, they've already traded up to unofficially to 12.
But they need to trade up again. Jets, Browns are
still
heavy.
The Browns have Tyrod Taylor, who you would think is sort of their version of Sam Bradford. He's a bridge to somebody.
I still think they're in the market to draft the quarterback, but it's shuffling, and I think the next big domino will be the draft because, I don't know, there's enough big options to lock yourselves into
somebody with big money instead of drafting somebody near the top of the draft. So I think those teams, especially with the early picks, it'll be Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, one of those guys, Baker Mayfield. Who's your dude of those? You still have you're probably
I'm all
the
over
most
Josh Allen.
Heavy draft guy in this building.
I'm all over Josh Allen. You can't teach arm strength, Chris.
And you're wrong about that.
And I will say my sleeper, though, Mason Rudolph. I think somebody will trade up to him because, as you said, an above-average quarterback on a rookie contract, you remember, first-round picks, you get an extra year.
Fair point. Listen to March Madness starting Wednesday on Sports Radio The Ticket. Listen to 1350 AM days and 93.1 FM nights and weekends. March Madness play-by-play from Westwood One exclusively on Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM The Ticket. Up next, in a sports update, how much money will hitting 52 home runs earn you? Find out next on Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Ticket Sports Update with a quick update on Boise State basketball. Boise State women's basketball headed off to the NCAA tournament. They will travel to Louisville. They'll take on the number one seed Cardinals 10 a.m. Friday, the 16th seed. I believe they will start the women's tournament, which starts Friday. The men's team, well, they'll play tomorrow at 8 p.m. They're currently traveling on the road to Seattle. They'll take on UW in the NIT.
NIT rules, do they intrigue you? The rule changes of 10-minute quarters, wider lane, longer three-point line, more international.
No, because no one cares about the NIT. There's no good players to watch in the NIT besides Chandler Hutchinson.
Well, Chandler Hutchinson is a good player to watch.
Yeah, but
do you
want
to see him play closer to international and NBA rules? Longer three-point line, wider lane, that's an
I
NBA
won't even notice.
Quarter system?
I won't notice besides the 15 times that the TV broadcasters will have to mention that they've changed that. Just like every time they go to the overtime in NFL, they have to read me the overtime rules, despite the fact that it's the 16th week of the NFL season and we've had four overtime games this year.
The game won't be televised either. That's the other thing. Like
it's on ESPN.
It's ESPN 3.
Yeah, so if you have watched ESPN, you can watch it. So it will be streamed. Well, it's being streamed. I'll have to hear that 30 times.
I think the real question that we should have a friendly wager on. Will Bob accidentally say half instead of quarter?
Probably.
During the broadcast. Over under a half. You want to take the over?
I'll take the over, yeah.
All right. We'll listen back to the game. I'll take the under just because I have confidence in my co-host.
I have a complete confidence in Bob. You know what? But I got to take the over. No, it's not fun when both people take the same side of a gambling bet, is it?
Yeah, but I gave you first choice and you picked the over.
I'll take the over. Well, the NCAA tournament's going to start today with the two playing games. LIU Brooklyn will take on Radford. I believe they're the Fighting Radfords, right?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. They'll play today, and then St. Bonaventure and UCLA. They'll be those games joined in progress starting at 6 o'clock tonight on 93.1 KTIK FM after Caves and Prater. Well, the offseason started in the NFL. It'll officially start tomorrow, the new league year, but unofficially, teams can agree to deals. And a lot of people were wondering what the Packers would do. They promised they'd be more aggressive, and they have been certainly aggressive. They've crushed my dreams already today, as they've agreed to a three-year contract with Jimmy Graham. I might have to go manipulate the fax machine there so it doesn't go through. But in order to make that move, according to Adam Schefter, they're going to release wide receiver Jordy Nelson.
That's a significant move for a team that we always think is going to be a contender because they have Aaron Rodgers. Let's take away his most dependable receiver and instead give him a tight end when he doesn't really like throwing to tight ends. Do you think Aaron Rodgers signed up on this?
No, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is a very happy man right now.
That doesn't seem like a move that Aaron Rodgers would like. The whole question about this NFL thing, though, if the new league year starts tomorrow, why are teams allowed to agree today?
Same reason in the NBA.
But, like, I don't think that was ever smart to do. Like, who decides this? Whose job is it to be like,
well, see,
let's have the new league year, but you're allowed to legally tamper, and that's, yes, a term, legally tamper, and agree to stuff before you can actually sign to agree.
Because what happens if you start signing free agents tomorrow, Chris? What is everyone talking about?
Free agency?
No, the NCAA tournament.
So you can move the new league year up.
Well, no, you're asking the NFL to move deadlines. That's just impossible, Chris.
Move the new
it's
league year up a day.
It's easier to create legal tampering than change anything in the NFL. Look at the catch rule.
I can't say
they
you're wrong
sort of
about
manipulated
that.
It in the Super Bowl unofficially, officially. If you ask, the broadcasters who are continuously calling catches not catches, but they can't officially say they changed the rule yet.
You can't say you're wrong.
So Let's keep an eye on that. Speaking of NFL free agency, unofficially, of course, Kirk Cousins planning to sign with the Minnesota Vikings. They've agreed to a 3-year, $84 million fully guaranteed contract. Send Cousins to the Vikings.
Man, he fully guaranteed. He got the franchise tag twice. Almost got it three times. And then he gets a fully guaranteed.
He will have 5 years of fully guaranteed money when this contract's over.
So he played the game the right way. He bet on himself, and a lot of players aren't happy or aren't willing to have the bet on yourself. They want to get that security, even if it's at a bit of a discount. And I can't say that it's wrong, right? In the NFL, quarterbacks have a certain level of protection than other positions. You expect an offensive lineman to, with all the collisions that they get on a play-in, play-out basis, for them to be able to bet on themselves not getting hurt. I'm surprised that there's not an ankle rolled on every play. Not an ACL in danger on every snap.
Well, there is. Look at the ACL. I feel like we could name an ACL injury on almost every snap.
The receivers have to go over the middle with safeties still head-hunting, even though it's illegal. Running backs are taking 20-plus hits every game. Like, there's not every position can afford, as much as Doug Baldwin says Kirk Cousins is our hero because he bet on himself and look, he's won the lottery. Not many other positions can afford to do that.
No, they can't. I think eventually we're going to see a quarterback market rule or something in the NFL, because right now it's getting ridiculous how much money these quarterbacks are eating into the salary cap.
Yeah, but like, I actually think in the NBA, the max salary has become a big problem, and that's restricting the market for the most important position, the best players in the game. And what it's done is, you know, it's allowed players to stack up with different teams, and apparently you guys don't like that out there.
No.
The reason that's a possibility is because of the max contract. You're putting a cap on how much they can make. If you put LeBron James in an open market with a hard salary cap, he might take up 60, 70% of the salary cap. You don't have to worry about Paul George, who also wants 60 to 70% of the salary cap, joining forces with him.
LeBron would take less money to have more superstars, Chris. And a banana.
I don't think so.
And a banana.
He's gone on the record and said that he's done taking discounts.
Well, speaking of players betting on themselves, one player who did that this year, Richard Sherman, that's because he was his own agent. Took a very incentive-heavy deal with the San Francisco 49ers, and some players making fun of Sherman, including Joe Thomas, who said, "You really feel bad for Sherman. It's clearly a case of ego getting in the way of his pocketbook. He got absolutely crushed on this contract while working as his own agent." Sherman then clapped back. "It's actually a case of believing in who I am as a player coming off a major injury, but I appreciate your input." And then Thomas asked if you wanted to come on his podcast later this week.
Ooh, podcast guest.
Yeah, which I feel like I had no idea Joe Thomas had a podcast, but based on his Twitter, I would love to listen to the Joe Thomas podcast.
Interesting. Maybe if it makes news, you can put it in a sports update.
I'd have to listen to it, and then I
got to attribute it to.
See, then I have to work. I don't want to work listening to a podcast. I just want to listen to the podcast.
Just want to enjoy it?
Yeah.
You're not going to share it with the rest of the world?
I'll just say, go download the Tomahawk podcast on something, and then download the KTIK podcast while you're there.
Absolutely. Yesterday was fire, by the way. You should check out that podcast.
Every single
KTIK.com.
But I had an issue with it. Now, of course, we got the play-by-play guy. Shout out Bob of every single major team coming to Boise, Kentucky, yep. Ohio State, Gonzaga, and Arizona. I need the little guys because I need to know what they're good at.
Okay.
Because, you know, that the whole thing, every year we read it, giant killers. They shoot a lot of threes. They shoot good free throws. They force a lot of turnovers. I need to know, the San Diego State Jackrabbits, are they forcing a lot of
San
threes?
San Diego State.
South Dakota State.
San Diego State. Wait a minute.
They're both
Jackrabbits?
They're both low seed. I had my bracket. I wrote SDSU, and then I wrote SDSU, and I was like,
Which one's which?
Which one? But no, I need to know if the Jackrabbits an inside team, and I don't want to pick them. So, you know, Bob,
Buffalo,
need those.
Buffalo, Davidson. People really like Davidson, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I need a scouting report on the low teams. I already know what Kentucky has.
We'll see what we can do for you. Just for you. Maybe an exclusive podcast.
I can fill out my third bracket based on new information. I've got the gut feeling bracket, the lightly researched bracket, and then the heavily researched bracket.
You know what underdog I really like?
Not Syracuse.
Boise State women's basketball. 16C. Hey, you never know.
See, it's not as fun when you can't say you're the first, though.
Second. So you'd rather be a 15C and be the first 15 to knock off a 2 than be the second 16
to
knock off a 1.
You always have that blurb every year when the tournament comes out. 2018, Boise State defeated whoever, as opposed to, Well, there's been 2 1-16s that have beat ones. Harvard was first.
We figured out who's going to play me in the movie. Do we know who's going to play Coach Gordy Presnell?
You know him better than I do.
I don't know Hollywood like that. So
I mean, who always plays coaches in sports movies?
I don't know Hollywood like that. I was trying to rely on you a little bit.
Did you watch Draft Day with the Browns?
Yeah.
Who was the GM?
Is that Costner?
Yeah, I think he that's who I would pick.
Okay.
Based off the bio I've seen of him and his small picture, I think I'd pick Kevin Costner.
Listen to March Madness starting Wednesday on Sports Radio The Ticket. Listen at 1350 AM during the day and 93.1 FM during the nights and weekends. March Madness, play-by-play from Westwood One exclusively on Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM The Ticket. Up next, what we learn about the challenge of Boise State women's basketball and the difficulty of Boise State men's basketball going to the NIT in Seattle. That's next on Sports Radio, The Ticket.
It's time to find out what we learned on Idaho Sports Talk with a little bit of Bob before he departed off to Seattle. And then Chris Lewis and myself. It's brought to you by Pro Sports, your full-service pro shop and bowling specialist. High-quality bowling balls, bags, and accessories located right inside Westie's Garden Lanes in Garden City. Today we got to talk to Gordy Presnell. He's the head coach of the women's basketball team. They'll be heading to Louisville Friday, take on the number one seed Cardinals. Before we get to him, though, Chris, you were there. What was it like when Boise State sort of undeservingly, maybe you could say, got a 16 seed in the women's tournament? What was the reaction?
The reaction was, whoa, okay, and then we clapped. And I was like, wait, not expecting to see our name there. Because when you have an idea of seed and they reveal the bracket in a certain order, they always go the top half and the bottom half, and 1-16 starts it. Like, you know when to start locking in and when not to. They weren't locked in for the 1-16 reveal and to see their name at the 16 spot. It just wasn't what was expected. And if depending on what your freeze frame was, like, you could have either a look of shock, a look of fear, a look of excitement, or a look of, I don't know, amusement is probably the fourth word. You could have either 104, and they're hyped to play, and I don't want to make it seem like the team isn't grateful for having the opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament, because they certainly are. And as Coach said, he's going to take advantage of it, and the team's going to grow regardless. However, them getting a 16 seed shouldn't be the case. It's really largely from a travel standpoint, and can detail it in a second. You'll hear Coach, but they should definitely be a 15 or 14.
Well, the good news for Boise State, unlike on the men's side, there is some precedent to a 16-1 upset. It's happened once in the women's tournament. We asked Gordy Presnell what needs to happen from Boise State's perspective for a Bronco upset on what I believe is the first game of the women's tournament Friday at 10 a.m.
We have to control some sort of the pace, and then we have got to take the first available shot because we might not get another one. And right now they switch all their guard line, but they don't switch bigs and littles. So we're going to try to do a lot of bigs and littles switches to see if we can free Riley up a little bit and get her as many attempts as we can, and we don't want her passing up shots. But, you know, Asia Durr, their star player, has almost 103 makes as well, so it's a great challenge for us, and that's how we're taking it, and it is some adversity, but boy, I think we can really get better from it, no matter if we win the game or, you know, score 10 points. We're going to get better from getting to play against those guys.
I hope they score more than 10. Like, as a broadcaster,
that could be a very boring broadcast.
Yeah, I hope they score more than 10. Like, please score more than 10. Although, you look at some of these scores in women's basketball, like UConn, and what they hold people to, but let's hope for more than 10. If Riley Loopfer, you know, can have the same amount of three-point attempts as Asia Durr, like, they're both really good shooters, and Riley will hit something if she's able to take them. There's her shot. Like, you're going to have to hit a bunch of threes, probably. And Louisville doesn't play a lot of people. I don't know what that means, because it's not like Boise State's going to want to speed them up and get them tired. Like, you don't speed up the one seed as a 16. It's just not how you do it. So it'll be interesting. I want to see what their game plan is. Now, remember, against Tennessee a couple years ago, it was three seasons ago now, Broncos were a 15 against a 2 and had a six-point game with 3 minutes left. Last year against UCLA, I think they were down 16-0, and it wasn't much of a game after that. So you've seen in the last two appearances almost the polar opposite to end of the spectrum, and let's hope this one's closer to what it was like in Tennessee.
Well, speaking of the men will play first. They'll play in the NIT. They're going to be tomorrow against UW Boise State, despite being the higher seed. On the road, traveling to face the Huskies. We got to talk to their play-by-play announcer today. We asked him, is the home field advantage that the Huskies may or may not have fairly earned going to be the determining factor in that game tomorrow?
You know, that's a really good question, and I think that the answer to that question we might really not know until tip-off, and that might be a determining factor in what happens in this game. I mean, the sixth man of the dog pack in a sold-out Alaska Airlines Arena has been really helpful in home wins against Arizona and a couple others this year, but, you know, there are some nights where maybe it's rainy and cold and people just don't want to trek out to the arena during rush hour, and you know, it's not a sold out crowd or an electric atmosphere. So, you know, certainly the home court advantage is something that Washington didn't earn being the five seed and Boise being the four, but, could be a determining factor in the game.
This is the NIT. This is not going to be some atmosphere that's rowdy and, the energy is going to be provided by the people in the seats. That's just not how it works in the NIT. Like, you're not going to have that. Very unlikely, at least, that you have that. I think, like, one of the better atmospheres once was when was it Stony Brook was hosting Kentucky or something like that? Where, maybe it was somebody in that conference, to where Kentucky had a conflict with the tournament in Lexington, so they couldn't host it. So Kentucky went to the number 8 seed in the NIT. And, yeah, that was rowdy that they got to host Kentucky. This isn't one of those situations. So it's going to be self-motivation. Can the coaches get the players to want to play in a postseason when I'm sure Boise State is disappointed the Mountain West tournament didn't turn out the way they wanted to? Now, Washington is in a spot where they have a first-year head coach. They're building something. They're a lot better than what they were last year. So just from the – if you're a neutral observer and which team looks like they would have more that they want to play for – the neutral point of view would probably say Washington, but just knowing Boise State, I think they'd want to play in it too.
I can't believe you just discredited the home. What if we have a game at Taco Bell Arena, Chris? You just said that crowd doesn't matter.
I don't think it would be the most rowdy crowd that's going to swing a game. Like, college basketball has those. It just doesn't happen in the NIT.
You know what? But you're lucky no one can in Washington hear this. You just gave them billboard material to show up to that game tomorrow, Chris.
Hey, people can use the app. The KTIK app to listen wherever they want to. They say you can't listen in Seattle. You can listen absolutely anywhere. All right, more Idaho Sports Talk. Caves and Parade are coming up 3-6 on Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.